Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And the calendar says it is September, everyone. So
are
that...
you sure? Are you sure?
Have you told the temperatures that?
Well, we need to go ahead and continue to plan now because we may be enjoying this warm weather, maybe a little too warm for us, but now is a perfect time to start getting your fall vegetable garden in if you want a crop coming up. So there's a lot of things you got to do to prepare for that, but we have some tips for you today on how to get started, what you may want to plant directly as a seed, mm-hmm. or maybe even just buy as a transplant at your local nursery. So there's a lot of different options for fall gardening.
Well, and I think it's important before we talk about the particulars of that to emphasize that fall gardening is really awesome in El Paso. You know, I think we have a paradigm in our mind that, you know, we got a garden in the spring and the summer. But this is an incredible time. You know, we've had a cold front. It's been below 100 for a few days.
Right.
So, you know, that's a cold front.
Real cold front.
Yeah, really. So
get my jacket.
Your parka and your sheepskin coat. But truly, it's a great time to get out and, you know, and really start preparing because it is time to plant, especially for those things that are direct sow. And there's a bunch that you can propagate from seed on your windowsill or under your grow light. And you'll have good veggies for the fall. You can be super healthy.
Yeah, definitely.
And you always got to remind people that fall garden doesn't mean you plant in the fall. You plant prior to the fall, so they harvest in the fall.
That is correct.
Exactly.
If you wait until fall, you're too late.
Right. That's
so
very true.
So that's why you need to get started here pretty
exactly.
quick.
And on our website, we do have a planting calendar that I refer to all the time, and it's in on the second page of that calendar. It shows down on the bottom, there's a whole section that says fall garden, but there are things that you're going to plant from May through July, actually, so that you can harvest in the fall. I think that's the difference. So we're thinking about planting a fall garden so that we'll have things in the winter.
Right, exactly. And I think typically when you talk about fall gardens, you're going to look at leafy greens. So your ruffle lettuce or your spinach are really good crops that can be directly sowed into your bed, if you will. And then also fall garden is good for growing root crops. So if we have a typical our radish season that can be grown pretty much all year round.
Right.
But now is really a good time to plant some carrots, even turnips and beets will do really well. We may be a little bit early for garlic, which is one of my favorite fall garden vegetables.
Yes.
Because I like to have like that evergreen look in a couple of beds in my yard. So I put the garlic there in October and let it sit there for the entire winter. You have enough time to be able to get your seeds to germinate now and give you a great crop. I mean, when you're talking about 30, 60, 70 days to harvest, I mean, that's really a short amount of time, realistically.
And I've been receiving notices from a lot of the seed companies, too. And so look through that if you get your catalogs and, you know, you can buy your onion sets and, like you say, get your garlic and be patient with garlic. I mean, people say, what do you mean I have to wait till the end of May or
right.
first part of June? But it is worth the wait in the long run. I'm still using garlic that I harvested late last spring. So give it a shot. It's really easy to grow here, and you can grow it in a container as well as in a flower bed.
And definitely when you talk about your leafy greens, too, I think there's a big difference between the loose leaf lettuce versus the head lettuce. And I think for home gardeners, maybe the loose leaf would maybe be a good choice for them.
Yeah, I think loose leaf is more practical for the home gardener. It allows you to clip a little bit off, let, you know, some new stuff grow back on, so you can kind of keep harvesting off of it. Whereas the head lettuce, once it's ready, you cut it and it's gone.
That's that.
Right. That's it. So
it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. And right. it's also a great crop to incorporate into your ornamental garden.
Yeah. And you got a lot of, you know, leafy lettuce varieties now that have all kinds of different colors. So you can really have a very colorful garden get some ornamental beauty out of it as well as being able to eat it.
And they're really tasty greens, you know. And
right.
Then, so you can do those, and then you can harvest that lettuce and go over and harvest some spinach and make a great salad with those greens. And of course, the health benefits are wonderful. And I think spinach is another great one here in El Paso. It, you mm-hmm. know, if, especially if you're new to this and you've not done it in the past, you know, the spinach is another one. You harvest and then it comes back and you harvest again, and it keeps giving. The more you clip it off and harvest it, the better and greener and prettier it is over the winter time. So there's all sorts of things that you can do in the leafy green area.
Right, and then you can also get the two different types of spinach, the ruffled
curled.
Curled type as well. Mm-hmm. Bloomsdale spinach is one of the real popular one that you see all around seed catalogs or in the stores as well. And as far as a consumer, I mean, for our family, we like to buy the large clam shells of spinach.
Yes.
But sometimes if, you know, meals or something doesn't really kind of pair up, then that ends up going to waste fairly quickly. Oh. Once you open that, it's so perishable. So I think that's really a nice bonus to have some spinach or whatever leafy green like to grow out in the backyard and just kind of pluck that. And, you know, it's always fresh. It doesn't really go to waste once you buy it, and you just use it directly to the table and not worry about
storing
that.
It's very satisfying, too, to say, oh, well, our spinach salad
right.
tonight is from our backyard.
It is.
And not from the, you know, a big box store or whatever
yeah.
that almost died before I got it home from the store.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they are so perishable. And I waste a lot of produce, unfortunately, because it's so hard to keep.
And that seems to be a conversation that a lot of folks are having at a lot of different levels and a lot of different groups as far as food waste and through our system.
Terrible.
So I think anything that we can do to grow vegetables that you mm-hmm. particularly like, go for it and allocate a little space in your garden.
All right. And there's, you know, things like, you know, beet leaves, beet greens, you know,
yeah.
those are edible. So, you know, you have the base on it, but the top, the leaves and stuff are very edible and can be harvested and used too. And it gives you some added color to the garden mm-hmm. also.
And I think that's true of a lot of these things. And, you know, if you're not sure, just Google it and it'll tell you whether the leaves are edible or not. And I remember as a child, we would have Brussels sprouts every once in a while, and we'd go, oh, yuck, Brussels sprouts. But they're very popular again,
right.
And they're an interesting plant to grow, and those you can start from seed on your windowsill, and now's the time to be getting those in the ground as well. And
right.
they're really interesting when you do go to harvest them, because they kind of grow down that long stem, and so that's kind of a fun crop, especially if you're a vegetable aficionado. Now, if you're not,
right.
give it a shot. It's just a little baby cabbage.
Exactly.
One that always invokes a lot of discussion is kohlrabi.
Oh, right.
it's in the cabbage group, mm-hmm. so it has the kind of cabbage flavor and stuff. The leaves can be used on that, but when it's grown, it looks like something from outer space right. landed in your garden.
Really?
So it's quite a conversation piece.
Right, exactly.
And it can be eaten fresh or, you know, fixed in the kitchen several different ways.
You can do all sorts of things with
it. It is a very interesting plant.
The first time I ever tasted kohlrabi was with a New Mexico State professor. We were working in the field, actually. We had our lunch. We had a lunch break, sat under the tree, and he took out kohlrabi and he started peeling it and eating it like an apple. And I thought, okay, what is that? And it was very interesting. It was delicious. It was refreshing, but it was something so different.
What did it taste? I can't say that I've ever eaten it. I mean, I've seen it grown in, but I don't know that I've ever eaten it.
Well, to me, it kind of has almost like a little sharp kind of
like
taste.
A tangy taste.
Taste on there, yeah.
A bite to it.
Yeah, and it was the first and only time that I've ever eaten kohlrabi, but at least I tried it. So I think there's other ways to be able to use it and cook it. I think
if it's cooked great. And stuff, you probably lose a little bit of that sharpness.
Yeah.
On it, so it'd be a little
flavor it up
smoother,
a little bit.
And then you mix it with other
sure,
things.
Right. Right. And what about collard greens? I think that's I don't know, am I right to call it a trendy vegetable? I think a lot of people are rediscovering
right.
collard greens. And, of course, I think with all the emphasis on sustainability and everything that we have in our country, which is a wonderful thing, we're getting back to these kinds of things and teaching our kids to, like you say, the biggest part is getting them to try it the first time.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that have done chard, Swiss chard.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And have carried it through several months here in the El Paso area almost year-round.
Exactly.
If you have it in the right spot. But
right.
You
kinda
can
like
buy
radishes,
some. But you can buy some that have the different colored stalks on them and stuff, and they're really gorgeous. Yeah. I think there's one called Bright Lights.
Yes.
That really has some brightly colored stalks that add some color to your garden.
Sure. Well, and of course, we also have broccoli and cauliflower. Mm-hmm. You know, right. those are our time to get those in the ground now, too.
They're almost past
almost
time.
Late.
Those
yeah,
are those.
They're
those are
right
a
first part of
season.
September, sure.
Right.
But
and if you're going to buy those as transplants in the garden center, as always, you treat them the same as everything else. You want to inspect the roots for a good, healthy system that they have on there and some good, healthy leaves as well on
sure.
top. Don't necessarily look for anything that's maybe setting the bud just yet. You want to still kind of keep it hopefully vegetative until you can transplant mm-hmm. it into your garden. And I think one time we have to think about as far as kind of pests and diseases that yes. will attract or kind of munch on our leafy greens mm-hmm. in the fall gardens. And I think there needs to be like a tolerance or a threshold that everybody needs to kind of like identify with, because the last thing you want to do is be spraying any kind of pesticides if you don't have to.
Well,
so
you.
I always like to, you know.
Aphids on those last leaves, you just wash them off.
Nothing
like
we'll
water.
And a little protein.
They won't
kill you.
Well, and I think another point too, Denise, when you were talking about looking at the health of a plant when you do purchase transplants, I think we look and, you know, but we don't necessarily touch mm-hmm. or pick up a plant, but pick it up and look underneath. Make sure you don't, you know, those little hitchhikers like to hide out underneath the leaves mm-hmm. and you don't want to be taking things home. To share
right.
with your other plants. So there's nothing wrong with examining those plants carefully. And like you said, look for those good signs, you know. If there's a couple of little weeds, it's not a big deal. But if it's infested with weeds or if the pot is split or whatever, those are all things that you want to really avoid with any plant, you know, when you're shopping for your garden, and whether it's ornamentals or vegetative.
Right.
And now I haven't seen a whole lot out yet, but
I mean, we have things like winter squash and stuff too that they, you know, pumpkins and all that need to be started probably a little earlier than now to actually make it for an October harvest.
Right.
But a lot of the winter squash has a harder skin on it and stuff, and mm-hmm. it'll withstand light frost and stuff, whereas a summer squash will not handle that. But, you
and
know,
I think
but,
that's a, almost
melons,
a misnomer. Winter squash is kind of, you know, the first thing you think, oh, I'm going to plant it in November.
All right.
Not
right.
so much.
Right.
But it's more like
but
June.
Melons do take up a lot of space.
Right.
So you got to allot yourself the room to grow those.
Well, and we grew watermelons out at our vegetable garden for the Master Gardener Association this year. And I had one dropped off at my house the other day, and it was delicious. They were huge and had a lot of seeds. It's hard to find the little bitty ones and the seedless ones, but they had a pretty good crop out there. But don't be planting a lot, because it will
true.
Take over your yard.
Exactly.
And, you know, with pumpkins in the same way. But you should be starting to harvest those before too much longer.
And gardeners are always a season ahead of everybody else. So we talked about planting your pumpkins on 4th of July so you can have them here.
For
coming
right.
up in the
Halloween.
Fall. Exactly, exactly. It's no joke.
It's calendar.
It's calendar, definitely. Well, we hope that you have a little insight here and to be able to go look at our gardening calendar that we have available for you. That's the Master Gardener website at txmg.org/El Paso. We want to thank you for listening to today's show and thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing our show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.